All right, we're gonna move floor plan to 115 so that we can hang out with Marty, the one man party. The text line just went crazy, Greg, with a bunch of Artie the one man party stuff. But we've got the real one. It's Marty the one man party. Before we jump in with Marty, though, remember 49ers at Levi's to take on the Dolphins this weekend, and it's time to hook you up with a new Jimmy G jersey. So all day today, it started at 6 a.m. with Murph and Mac. It'll go through the 4 p.m. PM hour with TKB. Listen for Papa and Tim's Ayuk is on fire once an hour. Be caller 9 when you hear it. 415-478-KNBR to qualify for the Faithful Fan Friday grand prize drawing in the 5 p.m.
Ayuk,
hour.
Ayuk is on fire!
Right about like now, for instance. 5 o'clock hour is the winner with TKB. We'll do it every Friday before every Niner home game this season. All contest rules and details, KNBR.com/contest. What's up, Marty? How are you?
Pretty good, guys. Nice to have you here. And I love listening to you. I'm down in Arizona, and it's under triple digits today, so we call it a good day.
Nice.
But you're hot, and you're sound a good voice, and hope your health is well and all that. But you and I have texted so much over the years about Whitey Ford, and we actually watched some Yankee games together on MLB Network during the pandemic. And when Whitey Ford died, Marty, I thought of you right away, and you just told me so many stories about the big games that he won. And you had a chance to interview him on a couple of occasions, I know, so you met him personally. So just what was he like as a person in his later years? And then just how good, could you make the point he's the greatest Yankee, at least starting pitcher of all time? Is that universally accepted?
Well, I'll start with the kind of guy he was. Pop, I thought he was one of the nicest guys I ever met in baseball. I met him in Cooperstown a couple of times and did a couple of interviews that we'll put up on Twitter with him. But just the nicest guy in the world. No pretense whatsoever. And I must say, in my top five of people I've interviewed over the years, including Rachel Robinson and people like that, Whitey is right up there. So, yeah, great guy. As far as a pitcher as a Yankee, I think he was the greatest starting pitcher the Yankees ever had. In the 50s, Casey Stengel used to use him 5 days, 6 days, never kept him in the actual rotation, and just used him when he needed to win a big game. If they went into Cleveland and had to face Bob Feller or Bob Lemon or Mike Garcia, or early win or Herb Score, Whitey was the guy who got the ball. And that's the way he was. So big game pitcher for sure. Has the World Series record for the most consecutive scoreless innings at 33. Broke Babe Ruth's record with that. And I just remember Whitey against the Dodgers and everyone else. And whenever the Yankees needed a game, Casey went to Whitey.
You know, Marty, it's amazing. Every time we lose, one of these great baseball players from years gone by, Bob Gibson just a couple of weeks ago as well, and I always think of what they would think if they were watching the evolution of the game today, particularly with Gibson, who was known to be so so fierce, almost mean out there on the mound. And now, the bat flips and the celebration. I mean, you try to think about what these guys would think of today's game. And it's hard to process how much has happened.
Well, it's a different world in every aspect of it, whether it's politics or science or whatever it is. And Pop has been on this pandemic from day one. He's done a great job explaining all the issues around it. No one does it better than Pop. But we're in a different world, and that's what we have to get used to. And it's a world of entertainment. And the Horace Stoneham, Brian Sabian era are linked together, and the new Giant era is as different as anything we're ever going to see. And that's the way baseball is today. It's a lot of analytics. It's a lot of getting the matchup the way you want it. It's entertainment. And that's the way the game is, and it's enjoyable to see these young players playing the way they are. But from the pitching standpoint, it's very frustrating to have to watch a game and see a parade of nine pitchers coming in. So what would Bob Gibson think? I think he would say, I'm in the wrong sport. I should have gone with the Harlem Globetrotters.
you mentioned Horace Stoneham, and I do want to get your thoughts former, you know, Giant owner, a guy who ran the Giants for years and years, about what's going on with the Houston Astros. And we have a poll up today. And, you know, which team do you want to see lose the most? And the Dodgers are still winning. But the Astros have become America's enemy. And because of Dusty, it's hard for me to dislike them. But you and I have spoken about, you know, the sign-stealing scandal that's upon us today. And you go back to the 1951 New York Giants and what they did to come back, and they had binoculars in the over the outfield wall, and they threw a towel up in the bullpen to tip them, and they came back and made up a great deficit. So it's been going on in some form in baseball for decades, Marty, going back to the middle of the 20th century at least, and maybe before then. And I saw it, you know, with Seattle and Cleveland, where they would have a dummy camera light up, a red tally light, mm-hmm. red for a fastball. They turn it off, a breaking ball. And we've heard all different types of things. So, and obviously the Astros took it to another level with their GM and their organization, their analytics department being involved. But just the overall, because you know the history of the game as well as anybody that we could have on the air. Give me the history of the game with sign stealing. And then bring it to today's world, and what do we do about it now?
Well, it's always been, as you said, part of baseball. I mean, there were coaches. Charlie Dressen, the great third base coach, could pick the signs up from the catcher, and he would whistle and do stuff like that. So sign stealing has been a part of baseball from day one. I think the problem with this one is that it got to the in the technological world of Apple Watches and the internet and communicating quickly like that and banging trash cans. And it was a World Series. I think if it was something that happened during a season and happened a few times, probably people could deal with it. But the one thing that we hold dearly is that the World Series is never tainted. So I think that's the big issue. It's more of where we are today as a society with elections being hacked and things like that. So it put their sign stealing in the technological age and lumped it together with a lot of things we don't like today. So I think that's the problem with the Astros. The Astros are a team that the people don't like because it did affect the World Series. And, of course, a lot of players got immunity just so they could get the story, and no one really got punished other than the couple of managers. So there's a sense of justice that the Astros have never paid for what they did to the World Series. And the biggest scandal in baseball history is 1919 with the Black Sox throwing the World Series. And this one sort of bordered on that. You don't want to mess around with the World Series. So I think that's the heart of it, is that it goes to where we are in 2020 and the way things are in the world and the way the hacking goes on. The Astros fell into that.
You know, it's interesting, Marty. I mean, Buster Olney was on earlier, and I asked him if, you know, if this disdain for the Astros had staying power, or if because of the pandemic, a short season, the success they're having, like when we come back next year, is everybody still going to remember? Is that venom going to be there? And he thought, like, absolutely. I'm mm-hmm. not so sure. I think, you know, I think time is going to sort of make this fade away, at least for some. I think everybody was ready to get after him this year, and COVID kind of shut that whole thing down. But what do you think is the long-term effect of all this?
Well, on the ball club, I think it will have an effect, and I think people will remember. And as soon as the fans get back into the stadium, which we hope is next year, who knows what's going to happen, then the fans will have their chance to do what they should have done this year. So, yeah, I think this is a story that's still got to be played out. And now let's see what happens in the next round here, because you have Houston going up, I guess, against the Yankees or Tampa Bay. And Houston has no pitching. And we get into the way the playoffs are going. You know, the biggest thing for me is that there are no days off. And we only have one series that's going five games, and that's the one tonight where Garrett Cole's going to pitch. He's never pitched in his life anywhere in Little League, anywhere on short rest, going against Glasnow, who's going on short rest, and Blake Snell can come in. So this is a five-game series. Where do you see a seven-game series with the Astros and their pitching staff and even the Yankees the way they are, and the Braves going to be very interesting with their young pitchers, and then you get the Dodgers in there as well. So I think let's see how the Astros play out. If they get blown out four straight, it may take a lot of the venom away from the fans for next year.
Yeah, Mark mentioned we had Buster Olney on from ESPN. He told us some great Whitey Ford stories and what's going on with the Yankees and everything. But he had a really interesting nugget or thought about the offseason. And you mentioned, you know, we don't know what 2021 is going to look like as far as fans. And, you know, the revenue is going to be down again. So, but he thought this is an opportunity for some teams. And he mentioned the San Francisco Giants in particular to seize on a marketplace where there's going to be a glut of free agents available. And if you have a long-term notion for a player, that you would lay it out and, you know, ride out what 2021 could be, which brings me to one guy in particular is George Springer. I've coveted this guy for a while as a Giant. Now, you know, he also has the postseason pedigree, former World Series MVP. He's tied for seventh, you know, right behind Reggie Jackson and Mickey Mantle for all-time postseason home runs. And I realize there's way more rounds of the postseason, so that is what it is. But, boy, he would fit in well in this team. For, you know, next year, do you, I think the Astros are going to let him go. They're not going to sign him. Do you like that thought of Springer specifically, Marty? And then just a pullback, do you think the Giants will spend money this offseason to take advantage of the rest of baseball maybe not doing it, even though we're looking at the possibility, at least, of no fans in the stands again?
Well, number one on Springer, Pop, I think he's 31, and that's a bad age to be a free agent. And the Giants are still over a 162 season. They're probably still a couple of years away from their young players have being impact players. So I don't think that they would spend the money for Springer for 2 or 3 or 4 years. I just don't see it. I think they're going to be more like in the Wilmer Flores category for a couple of years and get someone who hits lefties real well. And I think what they've got to do, and this is something Farhan really should have done, and it's the criticism, at the trade deadline, even in this crazy season of August 31st, should have gone out and gotten a couple of relievers. It would have made a tremendous difference to this ball club in September. We saw it. It really handcuffed Kapler and the moves that he could make. So for me, I see them doing what they did last year, and that is going into the free agent market and trying to find a couple of relievers. They're going to have to redo the pitching staff again. I don't know if they're going to sign Smiley and Gausman again for the money that they can get. And I think it's got to be pitching. And I think the outfield, the offense was outstanding. And Ramos is coming. So I think the outfield they probably can live with Yastrzemski and Dickerson and Slater. But I think it's got to be in the pitching. But, Pop, for Springer, 31, to get involved 3-4 years, I still think they're a couple of years away from being a team that contends over 162. So I don't think they would go after him.
Marty, always great to hear your voice. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Well, glad to hear you guys. You know, being down here in Arizona, it's wonderful just to go to that TuneIn app and then hear you guys, and it's a pleasure to listen to you.
There he is. Marty.
Stay healthy, my friend.
Marty.
Yeah, I'll be up next week, Pop. Maybe we'll get together.
Okay, send me a text. Let me know. Maybe we'll watch
I will.
Together.
Okay.
All right.
Be good.
There it is. Marty Lurie. Marty, the one-man party with us on the Papa and Lund show. Yeah, it's always good to hear his voice. Very, very comforting there.